Well, good early morning. Glad the rain did not scare you away. It's just a passing thing. Today we speak about being filled with the Holy Spirit, partnering with God in the work that He's doing. Brother Don and I were talking as we were walking from the office. We meet for prayer over there, so men, if you want to join us 7:30 in the morning to pray, just pray for the service, pray for me and the band, just for the Holy Spirit to move in a mighty way, just join us over there about 7:30 on Sunday mornings. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, everything we do, it has to be Holy Spirit-led in order that we can see the results that God is trying to bring. It's partnering with God where He's moving at. Listen, if we do not partner with the Holy Spirit, if we're not expecting the Holy Spirit to move in our services, we're just meeting together doing religious things. We're singing a bunch of religious songs, and we're hearing a message, and we're just applying it in a religious way, and we walk out of here unchanged. Can't remember what the preacher talked about all during the week. So we apply it nowhere in our life. Yet when the Holy Spirit is moving, it's amazing how it buries down deep into our soul and it begins to transform us. And there's something that comes across from God's Word on Sunday morning that just keeps eating at us and eating at us all week long until we say, okay, Lord, I surrender that area to my life to You. Being Spirit-filled, partnering with God. I don't want just a church to come in. We look at each other each week. We sing a few songs. We hear a message, go our happy little ways. No, I want us to do life together to where we're transformed by God and we're meeting together. We're meeting and communing with the Holy Spirit, communing and worshiping our Father. That's the kind of church that Jesus Christ left us to be, partnering with Him. Last week we looked at, you know, there's something that Jesus says for us to do. He told His disciples to go. Make disciples of me. In other words, we are all on duty here to make disciples. We're not just gathered to worship, we're to make disciples. Partnering with God to make disciples. Listen, that can be a little intimidating. If we're trying it in our own power, it's a little intimidating. Why aren't we inviting people to church with us? Why aren't we really, you know, living for Christ out loud in the workplace that we're at or the school setting that we're at? A lot of times we're not living out loud for Christ because we're fearful. What will people think of me if I say something about Jesus to them? What will they say if I don't just laugh along with their off-color jokes? What will happen if... You know what would happen? Their life may be transformed by the Holy Spirit because of the testimony that you're living out. A lot of times we don't want to partner to God because, first of all, we're afraid of failing. We don't want to be a failure in front of everyone else. Listen, people are dying going to hell. You can't fail much more than that. We have to open up and say something. The second thing of all is that we look at the vast amount of people who are lost and we say, man, that's a lot of people. No, you know what? God can reach them. We just have to do our part where we're at, where He's planted us to do our part, because every soul is saved one at a time. And if there's 7 point something billion people, almost 8 billion people in the world, and only a few of those, a few percentage of those are saved, then we must do our part so we can increase by joining the Holy Spirit where He's working. And that's what really we're looking at today, is how did the disciples do it so we can do it also? If you have your Bible today, turn to the book of Acts chapter 2. We're kind of following just a line of events that happened from Pastor Brian preaching about the Passover meal that Jesus shared, and we talked about the crucifixion, we talked about the resurrection, and we talked about being sent out. We talked about the doubting Thomas. We've talked about different things over the last few weeks. And today we talk about, after Jesus ascended, the disciples being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the reality is that's the only way that we're going to be an effective church, the only way we're going to live an effective Christian life, the only way we're going to live in the holiness that God called us to is to be filled with His Spirit. The only way. Vance Havner said it this way. We're not going to move the world by criticism, nor conformity to it, but by the combustion within it of lives ignited by the Spirit of God. The only way that we're going to make a difference is not criticizing the president or criticizing things going on across the world, criticizing same-sex marriage, criticizing this. Listen, we can criticize all we want. If we're not living ignited by the Holy Spirit, nothing will happen. We'll just complain. Acts 2, verse 1 through verse 17. When the days of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So Pentecost means 50. So it's really 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. So Christ was on the earth for 40 days. He ascended up into heaven. So 10 days later, Jesus had told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come. So here they are praying in the upper room. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came on to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them, saying, "They had too much wine." And then Peter stood with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you live in Jerusalem, let me explain this. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people." Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, oftentimes in this Christian life, we feel defeated because we try to live it in our own power and our own strength, and we find that we keep failing. Lord, we find that we feel, Lord, that we just can't live up to what we know that you desire for us. Oh, Father, I pray today that each believer, maybe it's a new believer, maybe it's someone who's been in the faith for many years, Lord, quit battling to live in this sin-cursed world in our own strength when you gave us the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for a fresh filling today for everyone here, the sound of my voice, by your Holy Spirit. Move in us, teach us today, God, your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are four thoughts about this passage of Scripture, you know, that kind of emerge out of us, this passage, to help us understand the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit to join God in His work. The first thought is this: the obedience of the believers. the obedience of those 120 people who were followers of Jesus Christ. You see, we can only realize the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we are obediently seeking God's will. We see in verse 1 and 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a mighty wind or a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So these 120 followers of Jesus had obeyed Jesus' command to not to leave Jerusalem until the Father sent the Holy Spirit. Listen, they had a prayer meeting waiting on God's promise. How many times have you asked God for something? How many times has God told you to wait and you got impatient and you went ahead and did what you wanted to do and you know you fell flat on your face? You know it. But the next time you started praying, well, I'm going to wait a bit longer. And you know what happened? A few days later, you got impatient and you did it again. God will let you chase after rabbits all you want until you finally stop to say, Lord, I quit. I give up. I want to trust you. See, Acts 1, verse 4 and 5, Jesus gives a command for these disciples to wait. He says, on one occasion when he, Jesus meaning, was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father. He's a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. The gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. God had this divine plan in mind for these disciples and for the church, even today in 2018. On this initial filling of the Holy Spirit, the disciples were commanded to stay in Jerusalem. And God's Spirit was working in the city. See, they're partnering with God in Jerusalem. Jesus didn't tell them to go back to Galilee where they were originally from. He said, stay in Jerusalem. He didn't tell them to go hurry up and do some mission work out there and make everything look good. No, he said, stay in Jerusalem where everybody was after them. Stay right here and have a prayer meeting. Right there among the people who don't like you. Jews from many countries had converged on the city to celebrate their Jewish holiday, Pentecost. And the Bible claims that there were, verse 5 says, they were God-fearing Jews, that they actually feared God, still basing their belief system on the Old Testament. Jesus' plan for the disciples and all the other followers was to evangelize the people of Jerusalem first. God's plan is amazing. See, disciples and other believers demonstrated their obedience to Christ. God's plan called for this. He sent his son to die on a cross. Jesus died on the cross for sins of all the world. If they believe and put their faith in him, repent of their sins are forgiven, past, present, future. So here's these disciples. They were the true followers of Christ. And he tells them, stay here in Jerusalem. I have a job for you now. Listen, Jesus didn't save us just to sit on a pew or a church chair. He saved us for a task. For a job, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we're saved for a work that God has already prepared for us to do. So in God's plan, he said, I've got some work for you to do, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to empower you to do it. And most of us are more worried about just trying to be good or look good. So everybody will think well of us. And we're not working. We're not doing anything for God. We're not inviting anybody to church. We're not inviting anybody to our Bible study. We really don't even mention Jesus' name. We're going to church. See, I'm just being honest. See, these believers, they've been with Jesus during his ministry. They saw him crucified. They had that testimony. Listen, you have a testimony too. Christian, you have a testimony of the time when you came to know Jesus Christ. There's a set mark in time of your salvation. You had an experience with Christ. You have a story to tell of the things he set you free from, of the deliverance that you had, of the sins that he's forgiven you for. You have a story. People need to hear it. They prayed for 10 days. Jesus told them to wait for in Jerusalem. You know what? They were obedient. They obeyed what Christ told them to do. They went in Jerusalem, and they met in a house, and they had a prayer meeting for 10 days, and I get 25 on a Wednesday night. 120. That was a crowded house or a big house. But they stayed 10 days faithfully praying and seeking God's will. What's going to go? What's the Lord doing? How's he gonna reach us? But they prayed. How many of you have ever prayed faithfully for 10 days over something? It's hard to admit that, huh? We may pray here or pray there, may throw up a volley prayer. But obedience, when Jesus tells us to do something, if we do it, you know what? He always fulfills what we're praying for. When it's lined up in His will, He brings it better than we ever thought. These believers also witness occasion that Jesus' ascension into heaven. See, their passion and enthusiasm burned deep because Jesus was their everything. He was life and eternal life. They purposely sought God's will in obedience because any living outside of God's will was not really living at all. Without Christ, listen, we're still dead in our sins. So the only life that we have, child of God, is this Christian life. Live it to the best. Live it. And live it out loud. Or are you obedient to God's word? Or are you passionately pursuing the purposes of God in your life? A.W. Tozer said it this way. See, the Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for His people. So the plan that God has for us, when we are saved, we are baptized with the Holy Spirit then. But He wants us to live every day in the power of the Spirit. That means to be filled every day with the Spirit because we all leak. We come in contact with things in life and it begins to pound on us. It's knocked some holes in our bucket. Sometimes we leak. We need to be filled every day. Just say, Lord, cleanse me of all this stuff. Lord, cleanse me of all these thoughts that I've had. God, this person who's offended me. And Lord, I know that it's burning deep in my soul. Lord, let it not be a stronghold. Lord, I pray that you forgive me. And Lord, remove it out of my life. And Father, heal my senses, heal my emotions from that. Lord, clear my mind, fill me with your Holy Spirit. We need to be obedient to God. The second thing we see in this passage is the omnipotence of God. That's a big theological word meaning all-powerfulness of God. That God is all-powerful. See, God's omnipotence assures us that we are empowered to witness and minister as the Spirit leads. The most intimidating thing is when you know there's someone lost in our family, lost a lost friend, and you want them to go to heaven. You want to share your faith with them, but you're intimidated because you don't want to lose their friendship. I'd rather lose their friendship for a little while and allow the Holy Spirit to just really melt their hearts and begin to stir them and spend eternity with my friend in heaven than to just try to be nice to them and just whitewash everything, like everything's good and sugarcoat it all, and they die and go to hell. That's not loving a friend. That's hating a friend. When you know the truth and you won't share the truth with them. See, in Acts 2, verse 2 to 4, see, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. Rushing wind. the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. See, during their prayers, the Holy Spirit filled them and they received the gift of speaking in various languages. Let's please understand this. Their real gift is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit fills us, He gives us spiritual gifts. And we're not all gifted in the same way. These 120 on that day for that occasion were given the gift of different languages. Why? Because look at all of the different countries of the people who were represented in Jerusalem. They did not all speak Hebrew or Aramaic. They spoke the languages of their country, but they were Jewish by religion. They were Jewish by faith. So they spoke all these different languages. God's plan was perfect. He brought these 120 together, filled them with the Holy Spirit, gave them the gift of His Spirit, His presence, baptized them in the Spirit, and then He gave them the ability to communicate with those people who were all in the city in the language that they spoke. He simply met them where they were at to lead them where God wants them to be. All of them were filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowered them with boldness and courage and equipped them to evangelize those in Jerusalem who the Holy Spirit were working on. We're talking about partnering with God. These 120, including the 12 disciples, they were all there and they partnered with God with what God was doing in Jerusalem because He came to the house of Israel first and then to the Gentiles. Tongues or those languages was the tool that the Holy Spirit gave these 120 to witness about Jesus Christ. Let's not miss the point. The point is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, baptized them in power to do the work, to partner with God. The gift of languages was used to evangelize the Jews in Jerusalem for Pentecost. The gospel was spoken in their language and many were saved. The Holy Spirit empowered these believers to partner with God. Notice Jesus did not give the disciples specific details of their mission. He just said to wait. Wait on the Father. And maybe that is what God's telling you to do. Maybe God has some great things in store. Listen, there are Christians who are just hunger for to know what God is wanting them to do. And listen, everything that we go through in life, I learned this in the personal experience in a mighty way, is that everything we go through life, every experience, God is using to grow us up to a different place so He can put us where He wants us to be. I look over the things that I didn't go into ministry right away. I was 36 years old. I had 10 years into education. I had a bachelor's degree in education. I'd been teaching. I'm halfway to retirement. Oh, yeah. And the Lord said, yeah, but I have something over here. You know what? I lost all of that to be your pastor. Because God had a work for me to do to grow me where I was able to actually stand in front of people because I was too shy. Everything you go through, everything, God is using it to grow you in a far different way, to empower you. And sometime, Lord, I want to be here. And God said, wait. Yeah, but God, I want to do this. And God is saying, wait. Wait here. Pray about it. I have to equip you for the job. The Holy Spirit came on those 120 people 10 days after they've been praying to equip them for the job ahead. God knows far more than us. Far more than us. He already sees what we're going to go through. He already sees what's going to happen when we get over there. We cannot rush and go around what God is trying to do. When we do, we're going to fall flat on our face and we'll be discouraged and wonder what God's even trying to do in our life. Grow where He has you now. Praying and seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance and leadership, empowerment. We need to keep praying and keep serving, keep worshiping, God seeks our obedience and the offering of our will to His will. His all-powerful Holy Spirit living in us, equipping us to excel in the ministry He has in store, for that mission He has for us. We won't all be missionaries in a foreign country. We won't all be missionaries somewhere in the United States. We may not have it as a vocation, but every day you go where you go, you are on mission. Everywhere you go, if you go to Walmart, you go to local grocery store, you talking to the butcher, telling him what your favorite cut of meat is, you planting a crawfish ball, listen, you on mission for Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget it. The third thought is this: opportunity to share the gospel. Always looking for the opportunity to share the gospel. The Holy Spirit heightens our sensitivity to the opportunities to minister to other people's lives. We see in verse 5 and 6, at the time there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered at their own languages being spoken by these believers, who were all Galileans and not the most educated of the group. But they spoke their language. See, when we wait on God and pray for His will to be complete in our lives, He fills us with His Holy Spirit, and the Spirit leads us to opportunities to share His love and His message of salvation with the lost and the hurting world. It's scary to be told that we're on mission every day. And the only way that we can be on mission every day is to be filled with His Spirit. And it's amazing the things of God, how He will use you to speak to the people in your life. We must diligently seek God's will and be sensitive to the influence of the Holy Spirit as He is at work in your life and in people's lives and situations and relationships. You will be spiritually enabled to discern what to say and what to do. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's amazing. He will give you the words to say, and sometimes the time to keep your mouth shut. Sometimes we want to preach to people, and that's from our own emotions, or sometimes from our own arrogance. We just all pumped up, and the Holy Spirit's not in it at all. He's trying to tell us, shh, 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 shh. We say, oh, I got this guy. We charge headlong. You know what? We get slammed. And people reject us, and they don't see Christ in us. They see arrogance. Verse 5 says, and they were staying in Jerusalem. And then they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation. God's strategy was to place these Spirit-filled believers in the middle of Jerusalem, where thousands of pilgrims were there within the Holy Spirit's influence and the Holy Spirit's and the believers' contact. See, opportunities to touch other people's lives are all around us. God has a strategy to place you in certain places to be His light in a very dark world, and maybe just in some very dark lives. God has strategically placed you there. Are you seeking His will? Are you to exercise the gift that He has given you to be the witness to the lost and to the hurting? See, today, we must be filled with the Spirit of God to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's working, pursuing our opportunities to serve Him, to serve God by serving others. Listen, we come together like this. This is not serving God. This is worship. The way we serve God is by serving other people. If you're not serving other people, you ain't serving God. If you are not serving, if you're not reaching into other people's lives who are hurting, serving them, that's in Jesus' name. That's how you serve God. You do it in Jesus' name. Not for a pat on the back, not because you want to be a good neighbor. You do it in Jesus' name. That's serving God. We come together here. This is corporate worship. We're exalting God. This is not serving God. Samuel Chadwick said this, said, confusion and impotence are the inevitable results when wisdom and resources of the world are substituted for the presence and the power of the Spirit. Listen, church, so often we want to substitute what the world says is popular, what the world likes, or what all this for the power of God. We want to substitute that because it seems easier. It's laid out for us. You know, trusting the Holy Spirit, there's not always a clear vision of what God wants to do. He just says, stay here and wait and pray. And listen, I'll show you when you get there. Just keep on walking. And we like it all laid out. Okay, this is the lesson. This is one. This is two. This is three. This is four. And if we do these things, everything's going to be just fine. Well, we rest on that. Oh, that looks good. I can do that. We start trusting the world's versions. Sometimes we just put too much faith in programs and not the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think we need organization, definitely. We don't want chaos. We don't want confusion. But listen, oftentimes we take our focus off the Holy Spirit and what He's wanting to do in our church, in our own ministry that He's entrusted to our care, and we just begin trusting programs, and we are wrong, and we don't see the harvest coming, and we don't see disciples being made. We're just going through the routine. Did I ever tell you that we're creatures of habit? We kind of get up at the same time, kind of eat a lot of similar things for breakfast. We just go through a routine. We're habit. And the devil likes our habits because it's easy for him to pick us out. Sometimes we do that so much that we do that even in our spiritual lives, and God's pushed aside. We don't need the Holy Spirit. We got this. We just do our routine. The fourth thought is this. Offense. God doesn't want us to be on the defense all the time. He wants us on the offense. The strategy of the Holy Spirit is offense. See, God's ministry strategy calls for us to be on the offense in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts 2, verse 6 and 7, and when they heard this sound, a crowd gathered around them in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are these men who are speaking not Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears in his own native language? God's strategy has been and will continue to be for the gospel to be on the offense of the spreading the message of Jesus Christ and his love and redemption. You see, if we just stay inside the walls of the church, that's called defense. I don't like when we use the word, oh, this is our sanctuary. Who are we hiding from? You know, a bird sanctuary is a protection for the birds. So if we say our church is a protection for the Christians, we're wrong. This is an auditorium. This is brick and mortar. Listen, we can meet under a shade tree. I'm all for that. I like outdoors. We can meet under a shade tree and have church and be the church. We can come together and worship wherever. You see, the gospel is meant to be on the offense. That means that we go out and make disciples, that we go out in the power of the Holy Spirit to be on the offense with the love and the passion that Jesus Christ is reaching out to a hurting world, not to thump them with the Bible, but to love them and show them grace and mercy, the same grace and mercy that we have. We do it in the power of the Spirit. And let me tell you, lives will be changed and transformed. God's strategy is offense. Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go means that we are in the process of going. Webster's Dictionary defines go to be to move out of and away from a place expressed or implied. The first two letters of the gospel is go. The gospel on offense means that those who are on the gospel team, and that's all of us Christians, must be prepared for the task, pursuing opportunities to propagate the message of salvation. People are saved not to warm benches in the church or chairs in the church, but to be active participants as Jesus has commanded. See, we value our salvation and submit ourselves to God. He fills us with His Holy Spirit to move forward with the gospel. The Holy Spirit heightens our sensitivity to His work and equips us to fulfill the mission at hand. Verse 17 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out of my Spirit on all people. The Holy Spirit is working. Listen, in our community, in our state, oh man, even this week, just seeing what God has been doing and bringing a lot of things in people's minds. Holy Spirit is moving. Listen, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Oh, may you today in this message say, Lord, fill me. I want to be a worker. I want to be on offense. How sad it would be to stand before Jesus with no rewards. They say, well, Lord, I was a defensive player. I just tried to stay good. He said, that's not what I empowered you for, just to try to stay good. I empowered you to go. I empowered you to be a part of my team. We have to score some points. There are lost souls going to hell. And if we're not doing anything about it, and the power of the Holy Spirit, if we're not joining Him where He's working, we're losing. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, a church in the land without the Spirit is rather a curse than a blessing. If you've not the Spirit of God, Christian worker, remember that you stand in someone else's way. You are a fruitless tree standing where a fruitful tree might grow. Would you say that you are filled with the Holy Spirit today and actively going for Jesus wherever He's planted you, wherever you have that area of influence? Or would you say that up to this point, you've been somewhat fruitless for Christ? See, today is the day that Jesus can revive your soul. He can revive your passion. He can revive your testimony that may have grown cold over the years. Maybe you're a new believer and all this is brand new to you. You really don't understand. But say, Lord, teach me so you can send me. The power of your Holy Spirit. You know what the reassuring thing is that I love? Is that all God ever asks us to do is to join Him in a partnership where He's already working. That God just wants us to join Him. That He's working over there, and we see where God is working. We're just like, Lord, can I take part of that? I can't do it without you, Lord. Empower me, but I want to be a part of what you're doing there. And it's amazing how God will use you in that area. Be filled with the Spirit. How do I do that, Brother Kevin? Listen, you empty you of you. Lord, I've been selfish. Lord, I've been protective mode. I've been defensive mode. Lord, I have not really opened myself up to you. God, I only call on you when I need you. God, I'm only calling on you when things aren't going so good. And Lord, that is not what you've asked me to do. You save my soul so that I can be a part of your team. You call me to do a work. Father, forgive me that I've been so selfish. God, forgive me that I've harbored some things in my life against other people, Lord. Forgive me. Cleanse me, Father. Lord, let me die to me. Let me die to that sin so that you can live in me. Fill me today fresh and new with your Holy Spirit. He'll do it. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, I pray for your church. Every Christian setting in here today, every born-again believer who professed you as Savior, repented of their sin, obediently, Lord, follow you in baptism. God, I pray for every believer today to be filled fresh and anew. Lord, let First Baptist Church be a shining light in the city filled with so much darkness. God, let us be different. Let us be changed. Let us be on the offense. Let the waters of baptism, Lord, continue to flow because, Holy Spirit, you are working and you are moving and we're just joining you. Lord, we have lost friends and lost family members, and God, we've been intimidated and we've not even asked them to come to church to hear a gospel message. God, give us boldness this week to even just say, hey, there's things going on in church I'd like for you to hear. Lord, I pray today that you fill us with your Spirit every day as we encounter the troubles and the trials of this life. Let us be a changed person to honor you and glorify you with our life and with the mission that you've called us to and the place that you've set us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.